Well, we feel very much in need of the Lord's help this morning. I was thinking about the last week we studied a little together about how that the darkest night turned into the brightest day and what that meant and the suffering. We read some of the suffering of the Lord and there's some things, I think, in all of that that the Lord wants to reveal to our hearts. Maybe it's an old story that we've heard since we were little children to us, to some. Maybe that's all it is. We've heard it. I think it's a lot more than that this morning. And I want to look at a few scriptures here, first to bring out the idea of what I'm talking about. In 2 Samuel 23 and verse 15, 2 Samuel 23 and 15 to 17, it says, "And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.'" Now, you know, David was over here and the Philistines were at Bethlehem. And David was in a battle. And in the midst of the battle, he was thirsty. And he said, I wish, I don't know what his whole situation here was, but in the midst of it all, he said, "I wish I had a drink from the well of Bethlehem." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. You know, I can only imagine David's feelings at a time like this. Can you imagine what it would be like to just say a wish and you had friends that risked their lives, really risked their lives? They went on a mission into enemy territory to get him a cup of water from the well of Bethlehem. I have to think David, that meant something to him. We read about it today. It got put in the scriptures. Some way it meant enough that it got written down. And so I look at that and I think, you know, David, I wonder what it was like. I wonder how he felt. I think I know. It says he poured it out to the Lord. "I can't take this. This is too great. This is too great of a sacrifice." These men hazarded their lives just to give me something that wasn't even necessary. Just to do something kind for me. Just to do something because they cared about me. You know, there's something about those kind of deeds and those kind of acts that bond people to each other. This was in a setting where they were under fire. They were needing help. And we see how this turned out. There's another place over in Matthew, the 26th chapter, in the 7th verse. And we read another experience kind of like that. Matthew 26 and 7, down to 13. "There came unto..." Now when Jesus, verse 6. "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste?'" This was a very precious ointment, meaning it was valuable. It cost a lot of money. And this woman came in, and it says she just broke it. Well, it says that she poured it on his head. "But when his disciples saw it, they didn't get it. They just didn't. What in the world was this kind of waste for? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, then there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." This went deep. This was more than just pouring something on somebody. This woman had so much admiration, so much love for the Lord, that she came in and she just poured this real expensive stuff on his head. She wanted to do that. She wanted to do that. What made her do that? I have to think, the same as these men that went to the well, I have to think there was something way down in that just wanted to. There was no reason for it. There was no call. She took grief over it. But the Lord saw something, and he said, wherever this gospel is preached in all the world, and here we are today, almost 2,000 years later, and we're still telling this story. And he said, it'll be told of her. You know why? Because it was a story of love. It was a story that something was greater than... This woman was not motivated by, you have to go give this sacrifice. This woman loved the Lord, didn't she? This woman, there was something she wanted to pour on him. You know, this morning, I just want to preach a very simple message, and it may not even be all that long, but I want us to think about what we talked about last week, Easter Sunday, the darkest night. Why? Why did the Lord, why did he suffer spitting on him? He was the Lord of glory. He was the God of heaven. Why did he suffer people hitting him in the face and putting thorns on his head and then hitting him down with a cane? Why? Why did he do those things? Is it just a story? Or do we recognize, as the Lord did? Here were these others around him, and they were like, What's that about? What's that? Why is she doing this? This could have been given to the poor. But the Lord saw something. You know, the Lord wants to reveal something to you and me. God loves you and me. He loves you and me. Do we remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, this morning, I hope that we can raise and elevate our eyes just a little bit this morning and recognize what God has done for you and me. And recognize, this one loves me. I don't know how you view God this morning. I don't know how you see him. I don't know what he means to you. I believe I do to some of you and a bunch of you. I do. I believe he means everything. But I'll tell you what he means to me. He means my life. He means my love. He's the one that has loved me if no one else has. He's the one that cared about me enough to die for me. Folks, I had no chance to answer to a holy God that made heaven and earth. How did I have a chance? And the Lord God sent a mediator, and he sent one to die in my stead for my sins. He sent one to carry me. He sent one to take my grief. Is that revealed to your heart this morning? I want to ask you this morning, how do you see the Lord? Do you see him as, oh, it's an ointment poured out? Yeah, I've heard about it all my life. Yeah, Christ died for the ungodly. But yet he's not revealed to me. But yet I don't behold his fullness of love. That God himself cared enough about you and me that he died for us. because he longed for us. I have to believe these men that went and did this for David, there was something deep there. I love that kind of thing. I will confess, I love that kind of thing. Because there was something deeper than surface talk. There was something deeper than just, yes, we're in your army and you pay us a good wage too. No, these men loved him. And they went and hazarded their life for him. But we have one that did so much more. When we read the Easter story and the story of Christ crucified and then rising again and then sending the Holy Ghost back to live within our life, is it revealed to our hearts that God loves me? What is God to you? Is he that judge that only sees the things that somehow I'll never please him? Or is he the love of my life? I want to tell you something this morning. He wants to be the love of your life. He wants to be the one that has so endeared himself to you that when you get in trouble, you run to him. Not because you have to. That's the place you run to. Where else would I go? What else would we do? Folks, this morning I just want to encourage us that God loved the world. He loved not the world, not the globe. He loved you and me. And he gave his only begotten Son. And he took all of that and he stayed on the cross, not because there were nails holding him there, because there was angels all around. And he said very plainly he could have called 12 legions of angels and they would have delivered him. And he had that power within his hands. But he didn't do that because he was going to pay the full price so you and I could have full salvation. So you and I could have life, eternal life in our lives and in our souls. Does that mean we won't have any battles or troubles? No. But I will tell you what it does mean. It means that in spite of the devil, in spite of all his accusations, in spite of his troubles that he tries to bring to you and me, in spite of afflictions, in spite of troubles, the Lord is there upholding you and I, keeping us, comforting, giving strength, giving courage, giving scriptures. That's who he is. Is he that? Has he been revealed in our life this morning? I thought of this song came to me. He didn't come down. The first verse says, often I stop to think just where I'd be had Jesus come down from that cruel tree. There'd be no hope for man, no peace to be found. Thank God, I'm glad he didn't come down. You know, folks, if you see the Middle East, and if you see the countries of the world and the strife, if you see our political system, and you see the striving and the troubles and the wars that go on, that's what life is without Christ. That's what the devil serves up. That's what he has. Do we have troubles? Oh, yes, we have troubles. Sure, we do. But I will tell you something. Let's get a vision of the fact that God so loved us that he not only gave his Son, he's still giving to you and me. He didn't come down. Oh no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. Picture his mother there with tears in her eyes as they mocked and scorned him and pierced his side. They said, if thou be king, then come to the ground. But he prayed, forgive them, and he didn't come down. You know, this morning, that should mean a whole lot to you and me today. I hope it does. I hope this morning, if not, that we can get a little higher vision of the Lord and recognize God is on my side. He longs for me. In fact, he not only went to the well, he went so much farther, he gave his life. He not only has a well for me. He made the well for me and you. He not only has beauty everywhere, He made it for you and me. That's what He did. You know, I think about all the things, and I'll come to a little more of this in a minute, but I think about all the things that God has made and done, and sometimes meditate on that. I love to think about that. I love to look out back and see the greenery and watch the birds come flying by and those kind of things, and realize God made this for you and me. Isn't that wonderful this morning? He made it for us. I want to read over in Matthew Matthew 16 and 13 to 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." You know, they don't know who you are for sure. They think that maybe John the Baptist rose from the dead. Maybe you're one of the old prophets that's come back, because it's pretty amazing. You're something. You're something great. Even some of the other religions recognize Christ, don't they? They say, yes, He was a good man. But they don't recognize who He was. Even the Muslims recognize Christ. There are a lot of other religions that will recognize Him, but not who He really is. And so Jesus answered and said, and Simon Peter answered and said, I'm sorry, verse 15, He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven." You know, this morning, there's a revelation of the things of God that these disciples had gotten up close to the Lord. They had gotten to know Him. They had walked with Him. And they recognized, this is more than another man. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the Messiah that was promised. This is the One that has come to deliver us. And, you know, Jesus recognized that Peter had a revelation from God. I want to encourage us this morning to search for the Lord. The Lord has a revelation for us. Young folks, don't turn your back and say there's nothing to it. I want to tell you something. There's an awesome revelation, that God wants to give you. It changes boys and girls' lives. It changes men and women. It changes the direction they're going. It changes what they give their life to. And all of a sudden, a man will be willing, or a woman, to leave behind all the things he loved. Why? Because of something that meant something to him so much. Something so much more than those things. That's what we find. That's what we find in the Lord. It's called a revelation of the Lord. A revelation of Christ in our soul, in our life. And why would we be willing to walk off and leave our dreams and our hopes? Because we found something so much deeper and so much better. Oh, the Lord wants to reveal today not only His will, but His love to you and me. He wants us to recognize, and I will tell you, it's. I don't see how you could ever escape it after you once really knew it. The Lord loves you and me. He loves us. I hope we have that revelation. Look at 1 John 3 and 1. John was one, and I love his writings. John was one that all through it you find love. You find love because he knew the Lord, and he loved Him, and the Lord loved John. We find it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That was 1 John 3:1. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to have a revelation like John had. Behold, what manner of love. He's writing here to these people. He's writing these letters, and he's saying, this is not just words that's in a book. John was writing this. He said, behold, look at it. Look, take a look here, and behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we, sinners, going as we were, and he comes down and saves us and changes and makes us one of his sons. This morning, I believe there's a revelation for us to have. You know, in 1 John 4:16, we find another often quoted verse. It says here, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. That very three words. I hope that we get a hold this morning that God is love. I know he's a God of justice. I know he's a God. That's what makes him right, because he is a God of justice. But I will tell you, he loves you and me, and he longs for us. I want to look at Genesis 3 for a minute, at a story that is so typical of today. And I see this story lived out over and over. In Genesis 3:1 down to 6, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle," he was more cunning, "than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, you know, the devil likes to get in conversations with you and me, doesn't he? And he likes to start twisting things around and wrangling things and hitting at us and asking us questions, because he's got an agenda. And he does that. He does that through a lot of means and a lot of ways this morning. "And the serpent said unto the woman," now she said, "Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And what did the serpent said? Well, say, did he say, "Yeah, that's what God said"? No, he said, "Ye shall not surely die." It's not going to happen that way. And he began, folks, the devil says things like this all the time today. Do we recognize it? "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, what an accusation against God. He's so bad, the devil says, that he just knows that you're going to be wise. He just knows that things, good things are going to happen to you. Let me ask you, did any good thing happen to Eve that day? Did any good thing happen to Adam and Eve those days? What happened to them? They lost everything they had, just like we see it over and over today. And somehow, the devil came in and... where was Adam and Eve anyway? He came in this place. Where were they? The Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden? A place of perfection. What more could they want? What more could they have? What more could they ask for? Do you know that it doesn't matter how much you have or don't have, folks? Remember that. It doesn't matter. The devil will come along and say, "Yeah, but your situation..." I want to tell you something. We're all blessed today. we've got life, we're blessed. We've got opportunity in that life. And the devil comes along and he begins to reason. And then he just comes right against what you believe. It's not going to be that way. You're not going to die. That's crazy. Does the devil do that today? All the time. You go to college, he does it every day, perhaps. You go other places, he does it all the time. You get on, hear the news media, you hear it constantly. Something spiraling down Christianity. Constantly. It's there. But do you know this morning, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, how could she be so deceived? How could she look out there and be so deceived? Maybe part of it was because she had never seen this deceiver work before. But you and I have. Do you know? She looked at what he said, eat. You take of this. God said, don't do that. He knew it. But when she looked and it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And it didn't stop there. And then she gave unto her husband with her and he did eat. And they both suffered all the rest of their life from that decision that day. They got put out of the garden. All the good things they had. How many good things do you have? Are we looking at them? Are we praising the Lord for that? Are we thanking God daily for what we have? Or do we live in a state where it was only if I only? You know, the Lord wants to satisfy. He wants to give us something deep down, a revelation. God loves me. And begin to open our eyes and look around and see what He has done. And what He has given to you and me. You know, there's people today that are suffering a lot more than you and me today. There's people today that's in big trouble without God. And here we sit in the midst of sort of a Garden of Eden, where we have good things on every hand. We have relative safety. We have food to eat. And most of us have plenty of it. And we've got, on every hand, good things. And the devil is sitting there telling us, come over here and taste this thing. You see, that's not going to satisfy you. I want to ask you something. What man that you know that believed the devil profited by it? Is there any? I've seen a lot of folks go down a lot of hard roads and lose everything they had, including their families, their health, and their life. I have seen it happen more than once. I want to encourage us this morning. God is love. Shall we put our eyes on Him? Shall we behold that He cared enough about us? That one act alone ought to seal something in our hearts that He really does care about me. In spite of my troubles, in spite of the things that come against me in my life, that one thing ought to settle a whole lot. God loves you and me. And He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son that we might be saved this morning. Oh, let's revel in the love that God has for us. Let's revel in the fact that God cared enough about us that He not only poured the ointment out on our head, He poured the Holy Spirit out into our life. Not only would He go down to the well, He made the well for us. And He said, I'll put in you, there'll be a well of water springing up in you. That's what the Lord said. Oh, this morning, I just encourage all of us. Why should we sit around letting the devil reason and twist and talk and all those things until he has stolen from us our little piece of Eden that God has given to us this morning? The Lord help us today that we don't get into it with Him, that we resist Him and rebuke Him and run from Him and agree in prayer with others beg for help. Lord, I need your help. I want to tell you something. Satan's trap is no small thing. But he'll make his charges against God, will he not? I want to turn now and look at another little street of the Lord. And I love this part of God. Psalm 19. Have you ever just basked in the sunlight of Psalms 19? You ever just turned there and read it? It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens, everything around us declares the glory of God. Do we bask in it, or do we lower our eyes down to Satan's level and let him steal from us our victory and talk to us and discourage us and live in a world that we don't need to live in? It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Have you ever went outside? I know you have, probably, most all of us, and looked up and just been in awe of God's handiwork. You know what that is? That's his love to you and me. Do you know he made that not for himself? He made that for us. God has eternity. He has everything. But you know what he made for us? Everything that is. We were real exhausted last night. And so Rosie and I drove down to the city. And we went out by Lake Hefner. And there's a beautiful view on the east side of the lake where you can pull off of, I think it's Britain there, the second one. And off to the right, there's a little area that the sun sits down over the lake. And you can see the horizon in the background of the buildings of Oklahoma City. And watch the sun go down. And we did that last night. And it was one of the most awesome experiences. I looked at all of that and I saw the blazing colors of beautiful fiery red. And it was going down and then it changed colors. And God put all that display on just for you and me. And we might be in our house, never see it. He put it on for us every day. Every day he puts another full display on. And it marches across the sky. And we see it. And we hear it and we know it. And it brings rain and all those things. And our trees grow by it. Do you know this morning, we can glory in those things. We can thank God. We can praise him. We can live in a place where we don't always just have our head hanging down. God wants us to raise it up. I think of Brother Porter, O.C. Porter. And I remember him. I remember him 101 years old, and he was back here in the Sunday school room giving a lesson. And I remember so clearly, so often, how he would revel in the things of God. And in his mind, he would just, you could hear it from his words, talking about God and what he'd done and those things. You know what? He was reveling in those things. I remember Brother Leslie so many times. In fact, I was talking to his grandson, Joseph, the other day. And he was telling us, here it's probably been a month or two, he was telling us about, I think he was reading, I don't know if he was reading in his journal or if he just remembered him saying one day when he was talking with him, he was talking about this wonderful grapefruit that he had eaten that morning. But you know what? He saw God's handiwork in everything. Folks, it's there this morning. Now we can turn and we can look at the things we don't have, or we can behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And we can take that in. Last night I had to sit there. I was so exhausted. I slept part of the time. But I sat there and looked out over that lake and just soaked that in. And it just soothed my spirit. You know what? God made that for us, didn't he? This morning, let's take in a little more. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't only give his son. He gave us the world. He gave us the flowers. He gave us the good things all around us. He gave us that beauty. And all we have to do is behold it. And He paints it. He paints a new picture every day. A vast picture every day He paints for us. And we behold it. I just want to encourage us today, meditate on those things. Jeremiah 29. Well, no, I want to read some more in here. I'm sorry. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. This is verse 2. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Do you know there isn't anywhere that God doesn't touch with all of these things? It's all around the globe, all the way, everywhere. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven. And He warms the earth, and He gives life, and He gives every day all of those things. Have we stopped to think about how God gave? He so loved the world that He gave. Have we stopped to think about all those things? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Don't let the devil talk us out of those things. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Have you ever seen the devil's ways bless a person? I've seen a lot destroyed by him, and I mean a lot. I have seen it. I have watched it. I've watched him get in there and destroy families. I've watched them partake of the forbidden. And I've watched them. I've watched the hurt that it brings. But I want to tell you something. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. And it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be the wisest man on earth. Take the law of the Lord. It'll make you wise. It'll make us do right things. Enlightening, let's see, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We're walking around the garden this morning reading all these verses. Or are we looking at the forbidden? Or are we looking at our own troubles? Are we listening to the devil? Or are we listening to the Lord that gives all things for us to enjoy? Where are we this morning? I just want, God, help us to increase our love for You and to have a real revelation. Those revelations, folks, they go beyond the troubles. Those three men that hazarded their lives for David, I'm guessing that they probably had their troubles later, and I think, I'm not sure if they were the sons of Zeruiah there or not. They had their troubles, but I want to tell you something. David had something that melted his heart, and he knew. When we have a revelation of God's love to us, and we begin to behold His love, and we begin to see what God is and who He is, and we begin to meditate on that, and we begin to look around the garden, and we begin to see the many things that God has made and done, the words of life, eternal life that He has given to you and me to correct us and to bless us. I want to tell you, it'll change our life this morning. The Lord bless each one of us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. This is David. He got a hold of something with God. He spent time out there. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Folks, I just want to say this morning. God sends his word many times to touch our hearts. Let it work. Let it do that in our life this morning. In Jeremiah 29, we just have a few more scriptures here, I suppose. Jeremiah 29 and 10 to 14. Listen to this. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Now, this was people that were suffering for their sins. They had forsaken God. They had gone aside and served and worshipped idols and done foolish things and forsaken his will in their life. And God, even in their trouble, even where he was punishing them, he gave them hope, did he not? For I know the thoughts. Now here they were down in Babylon, serving the king of Babylon. And he said, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. The Lord help us. Each one, I think about one more scripture. Romans 11 and 22 says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Do you know this morning, God is a God of love and a God of justice. We have to be careful in our life not to let the devil wind up in our minds and sidetrack us and get us discontented and get us to follow him and get us to fall for some trap that he has. The Lord wants to give us all things richly to enjoy, and he has given that. But we have to behold his goodness and turn our hearts and our minds and our eyes away from those other things. Oh, I hope this morning that we've gotten just a little deeper view of the love that God has for us and the love, the way it can be in our life and how much he wants it to be so and how much he longs for it to be like that, how much he longs for you and me to come and pray before him and seek his face and till he moves by his spirit and talks to our spirit. But we have to turn away from that tree. We have to turn to the Lord and behold him and let him have his way in our life for that to happen. The Lord bless each one of us today.